Fun fact, I have been a longtime introvert and I lacked self-confidence completely, hands down. Was the most sheepish wallflower you've ever seen. Now I speak on stage in front of tens of thousands. I speak to millions on the podcast. How is that possible? Well, if you are an introvert or close to an introvert, someone who just is so awkward around speaking up in places, even for two people in the room, or just 20,000, doesn't matter, or you're a person who can't even share your, communicate your feelings and emotions to a random family member, and you're a person who just doesn't have the confidence, you are scared to be judged, this podcast is for you. Let's talk about how to fix that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Mindful Muslima, big sister, big khala, here to give you advice on things that you can't talk to anybody else about. At least that's what you guys tell me. It wasn't quite the meaning of the original podcast, but that's what it has come to be. And with 25 years plus experience speaking to 150 countries fully, you guys, over 5 million, I am here to serve. And we are talking today about what to do if you can't speak up for yourself, if you're struggling just to even, you know, communicate your needs. It's a really serious thing because it holds people back in relationships. It makes them unhappy. It makes them live their lives in difficulty. And so hopefully by the end of today's podcast, you're going to get some really good advice on what you can do about that. The second thing is I have a pretty huge announcement I want you to know about a very famous person who will be visiting us inside of the book club and kind of a late start to the book club that I'll let you know about. So a lot of you know that we're starting a book club and it will be doing the book, The Productive Muslim, done by Muhammad, right? Brother Muhammad, and you all know him from the Productive Muslim Company. We're very, very excited about this book club and we have been advertising it for a while. It's completely free. We want women to join. You guys know our book clubs. We've done maybe 8 or 9 of them over the years and you guys just love, laugh, cry together. It's just amazing and I love it because we're so international. And we were all set to start this weekend and I told you with my travel, I was really excited. I planned everything around it. So I would pop off the plane, jump in the hotel room and dive straight onto the computer and make sure I was with you guys live. The unfortunate conundrum, which I kind of started to express last podcast, is that I didn't realize I had the time off. So when I went to do the timing, there was a lot of things. I'm trying to make sure our teams are aligned, our other live broadcasts are aligned and everything, because we do so much outside the podcast. If you guys don't know us and you're new to us, welcome. Our website for all that we do is www.mindful-muslima, M-U-S-L-A-M-A-H. You'll find tons of freebies. If you have never seen them, gone there, please pause now and go because I want you to get them. We have tons of free downloadable ebooks and classes and everything. This is just the beginning, but for those of you who have been in our book club, and I'll try to make sure I put the sign up link below if you're not in, because you're going to want to be, I have a really great announcement that he is going to come and do a special guest appearance within our book club. We just got off the phone with him and the team today, and alhamdulillah, about the middle to end of the book club, he's going to be coming in. So you're going to want to make sure you're in the book club, reading the book, so you could be that active learner. And then when he comes on, he can answer all of your productivity questions. And this is like an amazing resource for the community. We're really, really excited. So definitely number one, make sure you get in the book club. If you're not, pause right here, go down to the link in the description and sign up. It's totally free. And if you can't find that, that's too techie for you, you can just message me, DM me on Instagram, Mindful Muslima. Even if you go on my link in my bio there, you'll get in the book club. So that's the first announcement. First announcement is the book club. I just want to let you know, really, really excited about that. But the second part of the announcement of the book club is a bit of a want because we were supposed to start this weekend, like I said, but because of my issue with me looking at the times the wrong way, I can't even do the book club this weekend. Guess why? It turns out that because of the time difference in the UK, and I don't know how we got it all mixed up with the different lives and things we have, I will literally be in transit to one of the events that I'm as part of, like this whole entourage of things I'm doing in London when I go, inshallah ta'ala, and I will not even be available on Wi-Fi, even if I wanted to be. This is heartbreaking for me because I've been talking about this book club start, and I know so many of you are excited and you've been DMing me like crazy. You can't wait to start this weekend. me too. But now that I will be in London, which, gosh, I've been trying to go to London forever. It just never works out. So now I'm actually definitely going. And I mentioned if I'm able to, I will be meeting up exclusively with our International Thrive members there. If I can, I'll extend it to the public because we do give the women first help there. And I'm just want you to know, like, the next one will be starting on the 21st. So January 21st, instead of this weekend, next weekend, the book will be starting. Sorry for the delay, but hey, maybe it's Qadr of Allah. It's a way for even more women to get in before we close the registration. So how about that? Let's look at the positive bright side. So I just want to start off on the podcast explaining the book club because it is so beloved after the podcast and Thrive with you guys. I just felt heartbroken that this is what happened. Just wanted to let you know. As we dive into the podcast today, I do want to say one more piece of advice. It is almost Ramadan. This is just for all the women. So make sure you put in your mind, while I know you're probably overwhelmed right now, we're getting a lot of that. I want you to put in your mind that relief is coming soon, right? But don't fall off yet. Don't give up yet. It's not the time. You don't want to fall apart right before Ramadan. And hopefully some of the advice we're going to give today will help you have a little bit of light in your darkness. If you're going through a bit of trouble right now, may Allah make it easy. I will definitely keep you in my du'as. Please keep me in yours. So today we're talking about how we can think about moving through. If I'm an introvert, I'm struggling to speak up, or if I'm a person who really, really is worried about being judged when I open my mouth. We do have a really diverse audience here. We have an audience here maybe of like teens to moms to like women who have the kids who have already left, like those, what do you call them, like empty nesters. We're a bit of a combo here, I think. I think I'm like partial empty nester, partial still have a whole bunch of kids running around because we just have so many kids. So that's the Muslim life for you, right? So my kids have kids have kids. And so here we are. But I want to share a little something personal with me. I've had a lot of sisters call me up lately and tell me how introverted they are, how much they struggle with speaking up and self-confidence. And I just want to say this, you know, and I mentioned this, I think, on an Instagram post too. If you see people out there, like totally, look at me talking all natural and normal to everyone right now. I was never able to do that. In my 20s and before, I could not. I just cared way too much. And if you heard the recent podcast on how not to be a people pleaser and all these other pieces of advice I'm giving you, you're going to hear a lot of me in my younger years explaining how I was nothing like the way I am now. But that's the beauty of growth, right? As you learn, you grow, which is why learning is so important, because Rasulullah, he said, learning is a comment upon all of us. So all the stuff we put out here on the podcast to teach you, to teach me, to remind me too, right, is because we want you to know if you want to change, if you want to grow, you need to do that age-old saying of, you know, nothing is going to change unless you do something to make it change. And you have to initiate something different, you know? What is that saying? Like, idiocy is doing the same thing over and over, hoping that you'll have a different result. You can. You have to literally learn something and how to do it differently. So that's what I hope today you walk away with, how to do it a little differently so you could have your life a little easier. So I was a young person. I was extremely introvert. If you go to any room, any party, I'm walking in, I'm going to find the nearest chair in the corner, and there I sit. I do not talk in large spaces. Now, if I'm one-on-one alone with the person, I love that. I think that's like low-key why I also like the podcast. It's just like me and the microphone. Yes, I have done this and spoken in front of large, large crowds of people, maybe tens of thousands, but it's not that bad after you've learned how to do a couple things, which I'll hopefully teach you today. The first one is that I want to teach you, if you're a person who struggles to speak, when you are a person who really, really worries about what other people think, it is going to be very hard for you to open up point blank. I was a person who was like that. I felt really low confidence. Now, on top of that, I had a family who didn't necessarily boost my confidence. Now, later as I became older, you know, I might hear all these remarks about myself, and I didn't really feel that important, that beautiful, that good, that anything. And I think there's a lot of us in our homes that feel like, hey, you know, I'm getting compared to my other sibling. I'm getting compared to extended other people. I'm getting compared. I'm getting judged. I'm getting like, oh, you should be this. And why didn't you do that? And yes, there is a lot of that in our Muslim families. But what I want you to know is after you're done being a child and you become a teenager and you start to realize adults and you look at them differently, you don't look like up to them. You kind of look at them them a bit, like, oh, who are you? You know, you're a grown up, I'm a grown up now. You start to realize that a lot of the people in our lives that we love, or could be friends or family or whatever, have gone through their own drama or trauma. And a lot of times they have their own story. And unfortunately, sometimes their story creeps into ours. For example, let's pretend you had a parent who was always being judged by their own parents. So I'm talking about, like, your grandmother is judging your mother, or your grandfather is judging your father, or vice versa, however it goes. And so they grew up hearing nothing but judgment. And so their experience of a parent talking to a child is judgment, judgment, judgment. So they have children and they're like, hey, I'm going to do it better. I'm going to do it differently. But guess what? We all fall into the common thing of, like, doing what we know, especially when we're not paying attention. That's why we have to get off of autopilot and be more conscious, right? Hence the mindful Muslima theme here. And so they're going to naturally maybe talk to you, especially in times of frustration, anger, or stress, exactly like their parents talk to them. So if your parent came from a household where people were constantly judged and talked poorly to, you better bet that's how they're talking to you. Now, here's where it's really important. If they're talking to you like that, that doesn't mean anything about you. That means that that's their story, their problem, and they're just kind of projecting it onto you. And all of their devaluing you doesn't mean it's any of the words they're saying are actually true. Now, I want you to imagine if you walked throughout your childhood thinking that you were worthless, ugly, not smart, or something because somebody told you, let's just pretend. But actually, that's just their trauma and their story. So what do you do about that? Well, there's a couple things other than, obviously, if you really want to, you can go to therapy. But at the end of the day, I want to tell you this. Your faith is very strong. And at the end of the day, you have to start to value less what those people say and value more what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. What do I mean by that? Well, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I gave this example the other day to a sister on a consultation calls. A lot of you guys know we do totally free 15-minute consultation calls. Why should you do one? If you want one. And what do we do in them? We talk about whatever you want. Usually women want advice on something, a quick advice. If it is a long, drawn-out story and you need to have a big thing to explain to me, then you have to do a 45-minute one because that would make perfect sense. You got to explain to me your story and then I got to ask you questions and then we got to give you the advice. But the point is, it's more like, what do you call this? Nasiha. Nasiha, right? It's advice. It's Islamic advice. So the point is, on one of these calls, sister was talking to me and I was talking to her and I was explaining to her all these things that come across even me sometimes, right? Even to this day or when I'm younger, people are going to invite you to places that you maybe shouldn't go. Like, I was giving an advice, I have a beautiful, beautiful extended family member / friend, and they are inviting me to go somewhere, right? Somewhere that is really important to them. It's a family event. And the unfortunate thing about the event is that there's going to be haram stuff happening there, or maybe, let's say, haram music or something. That puts me in a really awkward position. I really love the person. I really want to be there. I really want to be supportive. However, I do know there's an element of sin involved in what I'm doing. You know, we can sit here all day and go, that's haram, that's halal. There's no difference of opinion about these types of things. These types of things, there's actually no difference of opinion. So we're not talking about which blah, blah, blah you follow. There's no difference of opinion about this. So anyway, so the point is, they're inviting me to something that is a mix of people I love being there and a mix of things that I know I should not be doing or going to. And there I am. I'm right in the middle. And I know maybe they're going to upset the person or upset Allah. And I have to make a decision. Now, if I'm a person who lacks confidence and if I'm a people pleaser, kind of like the podcast we talked about before, I'm going to say yes, I'm going to go. But at this point, I had to say no. And that person was like, oh, you know, this is not good and you should do this. And you know what? If I believed them and valued what they say, I would say, oh, I'm a horrible person. I made a bad decision. I feel so ashamed. But if I loved what Allah loved before what people loved, like what I'm saying with your parents, then I would make a decision and feel good knowing I don't need everyone to approve of my decision. I don't need everyone to love my decision. I just need Allah to love it, right? It's kind of like when we say one of the beautiful times you can disobey your parents, which is not very often, is when they ask you to do something that is in disobedience to Allah, like not pray. If your parent ever says to you, you're not allowed to pray, this is no, I don't advise you, or you cannot wear hijab, they cannot do this. You actually are allowed to disobey them, not for many other things, but for this, because this is them defying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rules and laws and desires. And in here you please Allah before your parents, even though we have bir walidain, we have to love our parents. Isn't that amazing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a distinction between when to do and not to do? And even if your parents say you're the worst child in the world because you put hijab, or you're the worst child in the world because you prayed and disobeyed me, they're not right. I know that's a really hard concept for us, because I'm a mother and I want my kids to listen to me and think I'm always right, but not every parent is always right. If a parent tells you you're ugly, you're fat, you should not like your brother, you know, you're not as smart, I'm disappointed in you, and they talk to you in these really horrible ways, I want you to remember it could be their trauma story. And unfortunately, they're saying it to you, but it doesn't mean it's true, and it doesn't mean you don't have value. So the very first piece of advice I have to people who are struggling to communicate, speak up, feel worthy, you know, in the room, to engage in conversation and have their emotions and feelings and ideas heard, is you might be replaying these stories that people have been telling you about yourself, and you're putting too much value in their words. Put more value on what Allah says. Does that make sense? Okay, how do you do that? How do you like value Allah more than people? Well, the very first thing is you have to learn. Learning, here we are with the knowledge again. You have to learn what is Allah love and what is Allah not love. For example, let me give you some super duper basic stuff, right? Allah loves when you pray on time. Is that just not the most basic thing? Yeah, pray and pray on time. So if I'm praying and praying on time, does Allah happy? Is he happy with me? Alhamdulillah. He expresses to that in many places throughout the Sunnah, the Quran. He's in love with these people, that they're doing the things that are obedient to him. They're rushing to khair. They're rushing to good, right? And then let's say we're looking at something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the woman and the man, they're not allowed to be alone together. Only shaitan is there. He is the third. Right? So I'm staying away from that. Even I want to be there. I want to be with this guy. I want to be with this person or whatever. But I fear Allah, so I stay away. Is Allah happy with me? Yes. So when you learn the rules, when you learn the guidelines, and if you guys want to know the sunnah, the best book, shortest book, very cute little paragraphs, the most powerful book I ever read, and you know, by Allah, he puts these books in front of me, alhamdulillah, is Riyad Salihin. Riyad Salihin. Someone's going to be like, can you spell that? Yeah, I will. R-I-Y-A-D-H, like Riyadh. Riyadh, like the capital of Saudi, right? Al-Salihin, that's a tough one because it's got vowels and there's no vowels in Arabic. Okay, we have the Tashkil, but that doesn't count, right? Okay, so Al-Salihin, I think it's A-L for Al. Salihin, S-A-L-I-H-E-E-N, or someone will spell it H-I-M. It is a book. You can probably get it on Amazon. I think I'm going to add it to my Amazon book list because everybody keeps asking me for this book. Yes, I am. Thank you. Note to self. So this one will teach you all the rules, how the Prophet, peace be upon him, did everything. Who better to emulate, right? Here's a great way to learn super fast. How the Prophet ate, slept, drank, what he said to people who upset him, like everything. Walk and talk like the Prophet. You will be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's one of the best teachers, right? He's ma'alim. So let's do that. Let's learn that. And it's a little teeny book. I'm getting no promotion of this. This is a classical Arabic book, a classical Islamic text. And I think it comes in one or two volumes. That's the shortest version. And it's in English. You can get it in English, Arabic, whatever. So alhamdulillah. The second thing I want to tell you is to have this confidence that you want to have. You need to do difficult things that are uncomfortable. And you need to make mistakes and get up and try again and get up and try again. You know, there's something to be said for that old school, like, mastery of stuff. You know, that stuff nobody wants to do anymore because nobody has any patience. And they, like, they go on social media and they flick for 2 seconds off a video. And they're like, nope, nope, bored, nope. We have no attention span anymore. And we have no grit. Anything that's hard, we're like, psh, this is too hard. I'm going to do something another way. That's great. You keep living that life. I don't think we value anymore the grit of pushing through something. Here's the deal. You see the greatest chefs in the world? Do you think they woke up or they crawled out of the womb with like a spatula and they were the greatest chefs? You know, that sounds ridiculous. What did they do? They went to culinary school, and then they probably worked at some restaurant for like, I don't know, like 5 years as a sous chef, like nothing, a dishwasher, right? Then they moved up and they moved up to another position, to then became executive chef. You know, I've watched way too much Food Network, right? Not even lying. So they did all that stuff, right? And they got to mastery level. Then they opened a restaurant and they wanted to be like ex Michelin stars, but then they failed and they had a bad review. Then they did it again. What am I describing here? I'm describing time. I'm describing practice. I'm describing trying and failing and getting up and trying again. Isn't that the way good things are done? So If you want confidence, right? Look at the best basketball player, the best whatever you want to go see out there. I promise you, they've put in the work. You know, everybody's out there like, I'm going to be blah, blah, blah when I grow up, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to open this business and do that. Okay, where's the grit? So there is grit involved in having self-confidence as well, because the best growth happens in uncomfortable spaces. Yes. So in order for me to speak in front of tens of thousands of people, I had to do it. To do it well, I had to do it. Now, I mean, I'm still learning every day, obviously. I had to do it at all. And the more I do it, inshallah ta'ala, the better I would become. I come again. So my point is, in order to master the thing, you have to start doing the thing, whatever the thing is. If it's self-confidence, it's like this. You have to try to talk in front of spaces, have those difficult conversations. And then, you know, what I suggest to people is, if you have to go and speak in front of people that make it intimidating, the first thing is bring them down to size. Remember, they do not matter as much as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. So as long as you walk up to that person, I always say the du'a of Musa, right? May Allah untie the knot in my tongue. I go up to them. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften their heart and hear my words. I'm going to go speak to them, and I'm going to remember their value. They are very important, but not as important to Allah. And as long as I approach them with kindness and respect and I walk away, I should not feel scorn, no matter if I, whatever happened in the conversation. And I should not hurt anyone, would not get angry and scream. I should try to keep my adab, my mannerisms. As long as I do that, that is what Allah requires of me. I'm not going to go dig in on them and, like, you know, like, just keep it halal, right? Then I'm going to walk out. And if that conversation didn't go the way I went, alhamdulillah, it was still a learning experience. If you're going to approach a conversation that's difficult, you make the du'as, you make the good intention, and practice on your own. Practice while you're driving what you're going to say to them. Practice in the mirror. The more you say it in repetition, because, you know, like, we all go blank when we're in front of the person. They're like, yeah, I'm going to say this. And then you talk to them, you get emotional, you forget, like, everything you were going to say. Yeah, we've all had that. I have that, like, every day. But what happens is, when I've had those conversations in my mind, and I've said them 5 to 10 times, it's so much more likely I'm going to actually say those words regardless of how I feel, because I've practiced them so much. Repetition is the mother of all skill. It's totally true. So just practice, 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 practice. Go up to that person, fail a little bit. It's okay. Learn something. Come back. Evaluate the conversation. Don't, you know, go all, like, upset with yourself. Okay, alhamdulillah, this was better than I did this. I will try better next time. How I will do it, like this. Just talk to yourself. And then you just try again. Sister, it takes time. It takes grit. I told you, mastery. None of these great people who are famous at everything. This whole, like, go viral and get famous. Yeah, that happens 1 in a million. But let me just tell you one, number one. Number one, they don't stay high long, because you have to have, like, long-lasting value. If it's somebody who has, like, this one-off TikTok and they became viral, is that highly impressive? No, let's just really ask ourselves again. They made a 30-second video. They said yada yada. Everybody loved them. Does that make them really impressive? Maybe in front of the people, because the people value ABC, right? But in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are they using their time well? Are they encouraging people to khair? Are they encouraging people to pray more, to be good, more obedient? Are they just encouraging people to waste their time? See, the things that we find value in, are they the things that Allah finds value in? This is how we're being a good person. So, in a nutshell, my advice for you today is, if you're an introvert and you're lacking confidence, you need to take a little step back and ask yourself, why am I this way? Why am I so afraid of talking to people? Have I been, like, put down by a ton of people, and am I putting way too much value in what they say? Number one. Number two, I shouldn't also fear anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to throw that one in as a bonus to number one, because as we're talking about, like, speaking up, you know, you need to have faith over fear. And as corny as that sounds, it's really true. If everything, and I go to talk, I'm afraid, I'm doing actions and decisions and choices based on fear, right? That is from Shaitan. Shaitan wants to make you afraid. He will, the Quran tells us, he will make you fear poverty and loss of wealth and loss of children and whatever. He's just going to make you worry, what if, what if, what if. That's from Shaitan. So if you're making this decision not to speak up or not to whatever, and it's out of fear, that's from Shaitan. If you make it out of faith, that means I trust Allah. I'm going to do it for the right reasons. I've already checked that this is the good thing to do, and I'm going to go there with full confidence. Even if it's not easy, Allah will make it easy. Make the du'a, make the intention, you're good to go, right? So when it comes down to you feeling like I can't speak, ask yourself, why? Is it rooted in some type of words other people are saying? I'm believing them. And why am I being so fearful? Am I fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or am I fearing the people and following Shaitan's whims? And then number two, How do you get the confidence to speak up? You got to practice. You got to practice and practice and fall on your face and get up again. And, oh, but falling on my face sounds like it's hurtful. Yep, it is. But you know what's more hurtful? Doing nothing and staying crippled and having an incredibly depressive life. So if you want to do more, you have to put yourself out there. I love you all for the sake of Allah. You have so much more power to do things than you believe that you're giving yourself credit. Allah made you beautiful. Allah made you resilient. Use that. Use what he gave you and trust in him. And may Allah make it easy. I'll keep you in my du'as. And follow me this weekend in my Instagram stories as I travel through London, inshallah. I'll see y'all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.